Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
If you would please open your Bibles to the book of Genesis. We're in chapter 34. Genesis chapter 34, this is God's word. Now Dinah, the daughter Leah had born to Jacob, went out to visit the women of the land. When Shechem, son of Hamor the Hivite, the ruler of that area, saw her, he took her and violated her. His heart was drawn to Dinah, daughter of Jacob, and he loved the girl and spoke tenderly to her. And Shechem said to his father Hamor, "Get me this girl as my wife." When Jacob heard that his daughter Dinah had been defiled, his sons were in the fields with his livestock, so he kept quiet about it until they came home. Then Shechem's father Hamor went out to talk with Jacob. Now Jacob's sons had come in from the fields as soon as they heard what had happened. They were filled with grief and fury because Shechem had done a disgraceful thing in Israel by lying with Jacob's daughter, a thing that should not be done. Hamor said to them, "My son Shechem has his heart set on your daughter. Please give her to him as his wife. Intermarry with us. Give us your daughters and take our daughters for yourselves. You can settle among us. The land is open to you. Live in it, trade in it, and acquire property in it." Then Shechem said to Dinah's father and brothers, "Let me find favor in your eyes, and I will give you whatever you ask. Make the price for the bride and the gift I'm to bring as great as you like, and I'll pay whatever you ask me. Only give me the girl as my wife." Because their sister Dinah had been defiled, Jacob's sons replied deceitfully as they spoke to Shechem and his father Hamor. They said to them, "We can't do such a thing. We can't give our sister to a man who is not circumcised. That would be a disgrace to us. We will give our consent to you on one condition only, that you become like us by circumcising all your males. Then we will give you our daughters and take your daughters for ourselves. We'll settle among you and become one people with you. But if you will not agree to be circumcised, we'll take our sister and go." Their proposal seemed good to Hamor and his son Shechem. The young man, who was the most honored of all his father's household, lost no time in doing what they said, because he was delighted with Jacob's daughter. So Hamor and his son Shechem went to the gate of their city to speak to their fellow townsmen. "These men are friendly toward us," they said. "Let them live in our land and trade in it. The land has plenty of room for them. We can marry their daughters and they can marry ours. But the men will consent to live with us as one people only on the condition that our males be circumcised as they themselves are. Won't their livestock, their property, and all their other animals become ours? So let us give our consent to them, and they will settle among us." All the men who went out of the city gate agreed with Hamor and his son Shechem, and every male in the city was circumcised. 3 days later, while all of them were still in pain, two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, Dinah's brothers, took their swords and attacked the unsuspecting city, killing every male. They put Hamor and his son Shechem to the sword and took Dinah from Shechem's house and left. The sons of Jacob came upon the dead bodies and looted the city where their sister had been defiled. They seized their flocks and herds and donkeys and everything else of theirs in the city and out in the fields. They carried off all their wealth and all their women and children, taking as plunder everything in the houses. Then Jacob said to Simeon and Levi, "You have brought trouble on me by making me a stench to the Canaanites and Perizzites, the people living in this land. We are few in number, and if they join forces against me and attack me, I and my household will be destroyed." But they replied, "Should he have treated our sister like a prostitute?" May God add his blessing to this reading from his holy and inspired word. What is the meaning of this? What just happened? Well, the story is pretty plain in terms of what happened. It's not mysterious. It's pretty graphic. But this is God's word. We've said repeatedly as we've been going through Genesis that there is one who is good, and that is God. Every other person on earth is a sinner. Some are more colorful sinners than others. But all of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And here is an example from history. This actually happened. This wasn't a fictional story. This actually happened. And a lot of folks would rather just kind of avoid this story and a whole lot of other scriptures. If it's in the Bible, don't skip over it. Don't just pick and choose your favorite passages and say, "Well, I like this passage, so I'm just going to camp there." There's a whole lot of stuff in the Bible that makes us uncomfortable. God says a lot of stuff in his word that I would not have objected if he'd wanted to leave out of the Bible. And I know preachers who claim to be evangelical and aren't, who are encouraging other preachers to just not deal with certain passages, okay? Because it turns people off. It turns people away. We lose our audience. Let me just tell you something. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for a whole list of things, which is why we, as a faith community, just spent a week reading Genesis through Revelation. Because it's all God's Word. And we need to receive it as such.
You're listening to Abiding in Christ with Pastor Jim Wood. Pastor Wood is a popular speaker for family and marriage retreats, conferences, and pro-life fundraisers. If you are planning an event, a retreat, or conference, and would like to invite Pastor Wood to speak or teach, please visit pastorwood.org and fill out our speaker request form. At this site, you will also find over a dozen books authored by Pastor Wood and his wife, Susan. Again, please visit pastorwood.org today. That's pastorwood.org.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
Now, in this chapter, we need to look at what happened and try and figure out what's the takeaway for me. Now, Dinah, the daughter Leah had born to Jacob, went out to visit the women of the land. Where were they? Well, go back to the previous chapter. After Jacob came from Padan Aram, he arrived safely in the city of Shechem, or at the city of Shechem in Canaan, and camped within sight of the city. For 100 pieces of silver he bought from the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, the plot of ground where he pitched his tent. And there he set up an altar and called it God, the God of Israel. So he's worshiping God, he's bought some land, and it's within sight of the city. What kind of city? The only kind of city that there was, a city filled with people who did not walk in covenant with God. God had made his covenant with Abraham, then with Isaac, then with Jacob. But the other nations around, they were the Goyim. They were the Gentiles. And they were not in covenant with God. Circumcision was the sign of the covenant that God had given to Abraham. And from generation to generation, it's being passed on, and all the males who are part of that covenant community are circumcised. But you're surrounded by pagans wherever you go. You remember Laban had his foreign gods, which he was very upset that his daughter stole and then lied about. You remember that? Okay. So there's idolatry among the pagans, and sadly, that kind of thing will repeatedly make its way into God's covenant people. Dinah wickedly went out to get to know the pagans. No, there's no suggestion that this was wrong on her part. There's nothing in the text that would hint that she was doing an evil thing by going to get to know the women who lived in the area. She was just curious. She's surrounded. She had a bunch of brothers. And even though there were wives and children, she's looking for some lady friends, okay? Just to be friendly. Going to visit with the ladies of the land. But while she's there, she is seen by Shechem, the son of Hamor, who was the ruler of the area. So this is the young prince. He saw her, and he took her and violated her. It doesn't say he seduced her. It doesn't say that he invited her to dinner. He just saw her and thought, I want that. And so he took her and he violated her. And then he thought, she's really great. She is really beautiful. I want to marry her. Dad, I want to marry her. Work it out for me. Let me see how I can explain this. Years ago, I referred to a song that was popular when I was a middle schooler, and some of the young people actually learned the song. It goes something like this. Hello, I love you. Won't you tell me your name? Hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Now, that really is what some people think love is, okay? I see somebody and I feel this huge rush of hormones, and it's like, that is the person I'm supposed to be with. I want that. That's lust. That's not love, okay? Well, that was a stupid song. Older people in that same era were taking a different approach. It was the same nonsense, but dressed up in a sweeter romantic melody. Some enchanted evening, you may see a stranger. You may see a stranger across a crowded room. That is love. No, it's still lust, okay? The idea is I see somebody and that's everything I need to know. That's all I need to know. I saw her and I knew she was the one. Well, Pastor Wood, as I recall, you kind of fell in love with your wife the first time that you saw her. Actually, I fell in love with my wife before I saw her. I heard her sharing about her relationship with Jesus. And I began trying to see, who is that person who's talking? And I was pleased with what I saw. But I had already fallen for her before I saw her. And the reason was because here is somebody who loves Jesus like I do. Well, this guy, you say, what a jerk he is. Well, yeah, he was. But he's a jerk like guys all over the world, from generation to generation. We think if we see somebody and we find them super attractive, we ought to be able to just get them, okay? I want that. Two of my grandsons, who shall remain nameless, irritated me as we would drive on a vacation and some nice car would go by or some nice truck would go by and they'd say, that one's mine. That one's mine. That one's mine. And I said, none of them are yours. You understand? The fact that you want something doesn't make you entitled to it. Well, this guy was a young prince. His daddy ruled the territory, and as far as he was concerned, if he wanted a young woman, he could have her. As a matter of fact, he could try her out and then decide if he wanted her. And we've got a whole lot of people who operate that way today. And let me tell you, it's wicked. It is absolutely wicked. Well, after he had raped her, he decided, I want to keep her. I don't want to just use her and dump her. This one's a keeper. Ever heard that expression? This one's a keeper? Yeah. That was his attitude. Dad, get her for me. So Dad goes with him and they say to Jacob, hey, listen, about your daughter. You may have noticed she didn't come back from her walk. My son wants to keep her. Okay? Yes, it's true. I'm in love. He spoke tenderly to her. You will find, ladies, that sometimes people will send you a mixed message. They will use you selfishly and then speak tenderly to you and profess their love for you. But these are people who really don't understand what real love is. Because if a man really loves a woman, he wants to protect her, not abuse her. He wants to provide for her, including protecting her purity until they are married, at which point intimacy is pure. Prior to that, it is not. Let's remind ourselves of what we know. Sex is designed by God to be an expression of love between a man and a woman who are married to each other. Okay? So, these folks didn't know that. They were pagans. So they try and negotiate a deal, and Dinah's brothers are grief-stricken and furious. So they resort to the family pattern and engage in deceit. They say, okay, we'll make a deal. You want us to just meld in with you guys? Which was absolutely not okay. These were God's covenant people. They weren't to do that. But these pagans are saying, you just become one of us. And they're like, well, you're going to have to receive the sign of circumcision. Now, the sign of the covenant without faith in the God of the covenant not only doesn't do any good, it ends up just yielding death. And that will certainly be played out literally, physically, in this situation. They say, we're willing to meld with you on one condition, and that is all the males have to be circumcised. Okay, if that's what it takes. And so they not only agree to it, they keep their commitment. They follow through. They all get circumcised. And 3 days later, Leah's brothers go and slaughter all the males in this place. All of them. Not just the guy who was the rapist, but all the males. Why? Well, because they could. And because if they just killed the guilty party, his friends and family might come against them. So we've made it now so that they are not able to fight. And while they are incapacitated with pain, we kill them. And they did. They killed them all. And then the other siblings, half-siblings, came along and took everything. They looted that village. They took all the women and children, all the animals, all the silver and gold, including the money that the father, Jacob, had paid in order to buy the plot of land. I mean, they take everything. And Jacob, when he learns about it, confronts the two sons who did all the killing, and he says, guys, this does not please the Lord. You have sinned. Is that what Jacob said? No. Jacob said, guys, you shouldn't have done this. You've put me at risk. I'm in danger, not of God's wrath, I'm in danger of the other communities around here finding out what happened and banding together to wipe us out. You should not have done what you did because there may be negative consequences to me. And their response, they replied, should he have treated our sister like a prostitute? Should who? Should he have treated our sister like a prostitute? So what'd you do about it? Oh, he just killed everybody. You've heard the expression, two wrongs don't make a right. The reason people say that is because two wrongs don't make a right. If you think it is okay for you to do a bad thing to someone else because somebody did a bad thing to you, you have completely misunderstood. Two wrongs don't make a right. If you look at this story, you have to go where we started, and that is who's good in this story? None of these people. So it was like Dinah at fault too? Nothing in this story suggests that Dinah did something wrong. But what do we know from Scripture? All of us have done wrong things, right? I don't have to know your life history to know that you're a sinner. I just need to know that you're human. Because you're like me. And we've all sinned. That's why the solution is the Savior. It's not us. It's not try harder. No, we need to be born again. We need a new identity. We need our sins forgiven, and we need His righteousness. Because my righteousness is as filthy rags in God's sight. I can't come to God and say, look, I know I've made mistakes. Nobody's perfect. God's perfect. That's not going to work on Him. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number, 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.